Good morning and greet all of you in Jesus' name this morning. Count it a privilege to be here with you and worship and be inspired again from God's word and through the singing. Have our hearts turned towards him. If you can turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 78, we're going to use that for our text this morning. Today is Father's Day, a day our nation designates to acknowledge dads and their role and influence in society. Possibly it's also another marketing scam and a way to sell you more things at a supposed discount. But nevertheless, Father's Day is a day that we pause and we remember our fathers and what they contribute to society and to our homes and to our world. We have a lot of homes represented here this morning. I thought to do a count and didn't get it done, but there's a good number of homes represented here this morning, and most, if not all, of those have a dad or a father who chose to be here this morning, who chose to get his family ready for church, or at least see to it that they got ready for church, and to bring them here to worship. And I find it a blessing to be here among dads who are making right choices beyond just coming to church. I believe there's a lot of good hearts here and a lot of dads that are looking for the right thing and to do the right thing in their families. And I count it a privilege to be part of that group. And I want to commend you all for making those right choices and for doing the hard work sometimes that it takes to keep your family going in the right direction. And because of that, we here in this building are far blessed above even many of our neighbors. Because of dads who are choosing what is right, choosing to be what is right and do what is right. Now, that is not always easy. And it's not always clear sometimes what the right choice is or what the right decisions should be. And life can get real. Life is real and can get tough and can demand a lot from a dad. And maybe sometimes we feel like someone always needs something from us. There's demands coming from every direction and we're supposed to keep dispensing and dispensing. And meeting those needs can take a lot of our focus at times. And sometimes in Father's Day sermons, maybe preachers can come down and pile it on and just add to those demands. And we can soon feel like we don't quite measure up and that we never quite reach in a practical way what a dad should be. We tend to pat our moms on the back, and we should, and come down hard on the dads sometimes. And that's good. We need challenge. Men need to be challenged and inspired, and we sometimes thrive on that push and need that push. But my goal for this message, and while some of that might be woven in, my goal for today's message is to encourage and inspire our fathers, our dads, by taking a little higher level view of our role and what we should be as dads. I want to aim a little bit above the daily grind and look a little more long term, look a little higher. And so I've titled this message, The Mission, Vision, and Values of Godly Fathers. Now, in the realm of business, you'll hear this term, these terms. In business and organizations, you'll hear this these terms that an organization should have a mission, they should have a vision, and values. And they're crucial to that organization's purpose, its goals, and principles that guide it. Now this becomes more important to define as an organization grows. These things become important to define in an organization because you need something to keep everybody moving along the same direction. Everybody focused around the same reason why the organization exists and working to accomplish the goal of that organization or business. And I define these terms in the business world, we define these terms like this. The mission statement of a company defines its core purpose and what it does. A vision statement outlines the company's desired future state and what it aims to achieve. And the values are the core principles that guide that company or organization's actions and behavior. And so I decided to borrow this concept and apply it to our families, to our homes. After all, our home's not the most important organization that we are part of. Could it be that we would benefit from thinking a little bit higher level about our homes, like we do in organizations like churches and companies? And so I want to think a little bit about these three things. First of all, what is your mission as a dad, as a father? What is the mission of your home? What is the core purpose of your role and life as a father? And so I want to go to the text verses now, Psalm 78, and read a few verses there. We'll read verses 1 through 8. And we'll discover in these verses what God's intent is for families, for men. Psalm 78, verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Now this psalm recounts the history of Israel. It goes on and expounds on the history of Israel, and the lessons to be learned from it, and the thought behind these verses is that there is something to be learned from the generations, and that the core mission of one generation is to raise up the next generation for God. We see this in verse 4. "We will not hide them from our children, but we will show the generation to come the praises of the Lord," praising God, his strength, what he is capable of doing, and his wonderful works, what he has done in our lives. Verse 5, "which he commanded our fathers that they should make known them to their children." And the purpose of that is in verse 6, "that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." Verse 7 is what I want. "That they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." And so we find in these verses that one generation, really at a high level, the purpose of godly men, godly fathers, is to tell the next generation about the works of the Lord, to bring them up so that they know who God is, so that they are aware of the works that he has done in your life, in maybe your father's life, and in the generations prior, to tell them the commandments of God and what God expects of his people. And to point them to put their hope, it says, verse 7, that phrase stood out to me, that they might set their hope in God. There's a lot of places that we can put our hope in this morning. We can put our hope in business success. We can put our hope in social success. We can put our hope in things and stuff and experiences. But the high level call of the generations, of fathers of this generation, is to teach their children to set their hope in God, to have their strength and the future and eternity secure in God. And so this is God's desire for his people, Israel. It's his desire for us today. He's created men and women, to be the crown of his creation and have the ability to have a relationship with him and to experience blessing from that relationship. And he wants each generation to have that relationship and not to forget what he can do and to keep his commandments, keep the principles that he has established at creation. When he created the human family, he created man as the leader and woman as the helper, and blessed them with the ability to have children and to bring up another generation. And so dads, our highest mission is to still do what this psalm describes, and that is to raise up the next generation to know who God is, what he can do and what he expects, and to find their hope for life in him. And so we need to grasp this mission. There's a lot that comes to us on a day-to-day basis, and sometimes it's hard to get our sights above the things that I'm required to get done. I need to meet this need and pay this bill and take care of this appointment and this and that and the other thing, and we forget to look up above that and to find out and to remember what the real mission of what we're doing is. And so in all the things we do, we must grasp this mission and have all these pursuits, all our other pursuits, line up and support this high calling. And verse 8 gives us a picture of what happens if we lose sight of this mission. And if we forget and we neglect our call and our mission. It says there was a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not right and whose spirit was not steadfast in God. A generation that forgets God and whose heart is turned away from God and who forgets the commandments of God and whose hope is not in God. And so God is looking today for fathers, for dads, to understand what their calling is, what their mission is, and who are willing to carry it out. The Lord said this of Abraham in Genesis 18, verse 19. He says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abram that which he has spoken of him." And so God is still looking for Abrahams today, for Abrams today. He's still looking for men that he says, "I know that his heart is right, and that he's going to bring up his children and lead his household after me, that they're going to keep my way and keep my commandments, and they're going to do things just and right." Would God be able to say that about me? Would God be able to say that about you? Are we willing to step up and to command or direct our households after him? Is my household keeping the way of the Lord? Are we doing what is right and just? And so our mission is to bring up the next generation to know, obey, and worship God, our Creator. And that is our mission. That is our high calling as dads. Now, in order to carry out this mission, you need a vision for how you will accomplish this mission. You need to develop a vision for how you personally will fulfill the mission that you are called to carry out. Having or developing a vision can be defined as the ability to think forward and to determine the desired future and what you aim to achieve. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says this, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And so this verse highlights the vitality of having a vision. Because without it, we perish, or a generation perishes. We have a generation that is like verse 8 in our text, forgets God. This phrase perish, or word perish, is translated in other versions as the people are out of control, or the people run wild, or the people cast off restraint. And so you get this picture of chaos and confusion and disorder that is the result of no vision. That is a result of not having an idea or a vision of where you're going and how what you're going to accomplish. Do you have a vision for your family? That's the question that I had to ask myself. It's a question I ask you this morning. Do you have a vision for your family? As leaders, we are called to lead, guide, and direct our families. We're also called, I believe, to have a vision that defines how we lead, guide, and direct. And again, too often maybe we're occupied with the present concerns and allocate much time to sorry, too often we're occupied with too occupied with present concerns to allocate much time to considering the future. Or maybe it seems like the future is so unpredictable and out of our ability to influence that we conclude it's little value to consider. But this verse in Proverbs reminds us that without a proper vision, there most likely will be confusion and lack of direction. And if you think about it, almost nothing of value happens without first a vision that is organized and planned. Consider for a moment our school building project that we're working on. As soon as we get the approval, why don't we just go ahead and start pouring concrete wherever we feel like and putting up walls, and we'll just all get together and stand there and just call it, figure it out as we go. We'll put the roof whatever angle it looks good then, and we'll just slap it together. We'll put up the building. Well, number one, it would be chaos if we were all were there trying to decide at one time how that building's going to look. And we probably actually wouldn't end up with the building that fits what we need. It probably wouldn't fit the purpose for which we are intending to build it. It wouldn't fit the mission. Good buildings don't happen by accident. A pile of 2x4s doesn't just turn into a useful structure. We first need a vision for what the function and size of that building needs to be. And we go through all the work of creating detailed drawings and even 3D renderings, and we consider all the details that make up that building and the size of the rooms and the roof lines and how it's going to look before we even move a shovel full of dirt. And we plan out a lot of details to make sure that building is going to fit its purpose. And that will accomplish the mission for the reason we're spending all that time and money. Well, I would submit to you today that godly families don't just happen by accident either. We can't expect to end up with a godly family and a generation that knows God and sets their hope in God if we just coast along as if everything will just fall into place and work out simply because we love God and have good intentions. I believe godly families are built by godly men who understand the mission of raising a faithful generation. Godly families are built by godly men who, along with a godly wife, have a vision of what the future should be, and then lead, direct, and take responsibility for your family's direction and its future. Godly families don't happen by accident, just like useful buildings don't happen by accident. So I ask again, what is your vision for your family? Now, this vision may include practical things and life goals. If you think about the future, there's a lot of things that you could put in that. Maybe you see the need for a bigger house or property for your growing family, or maybe you need to downsize because you're on the downward curve of a grow, sure, maybe you're a shrinking family. Maybe you look forward to growth in your business or career or improving your financial situation. It could be that you want to see your children develop a certain skill or learn a trade. It could be that you dream of a little more free time to spend with family and friends, or maybe it's the ability to travel to visit friends or volunteer in disaster relief and mission work. And the list could go on and on and be as varied as the amount of people sitting here this morning of what you would like to see in your future. And it's right to have goals for this earth life to give us direction and purpose in these things. But I want to mostly call us to think about our vision for spiritual and relational growth and maintenance. It's pretty easy to focus on that stuff. We can dream about how this life is going to look. But do we spend much time thinking about what's beyond me? What's beyond my existence here? When you consider your children, what do you want to see in their lives and character a year from now? What about 5 years from now? What about 10 years from now? What about your descendants 100 years from now? What do you envision for them? What about your relationship with your wife? How is it? How do you want that relationship to develop in the next year, 5 years, 10 years? What do you envision for when you're 80? When you consider the spiritual temperature in your household, is it growing warmer or colder in your relationship with God and walking in truth? What direction are you going? How does it compare to where you were 5 years ago? Where do you think you'll be in 5 years, 10 years, 50 years? Is the next generation, the little people growing up in your household, and maybe even the young adults, and maybe you have married children and grandchildren, or is that next generation learning about God? Are they hearing about the mighty works He has done in your family? Are they hearing praise to Him for what He's doing now and for what God means to us now? Are they hearing that you have your hope set in Him today? Or is your hope in all the down here stuff? Do you have a vision for a family that remains faithful to God despite the pressure of worldly influence and apostasy? And we could go on and on and bullet point this, but I just want to get you thinking about the long term. What is your vision? What do you see for your descendants? You should be developing this vision with your wife and then communicating this to your children. And maybe it'd be helpful to write this down. I don't have a written vision, although as I studied this, I thought maybe I should. But we should at least be involved in conversations as husband and wife, and maybe as brothers in the church, about what we see down the road. We should at least be able to articulate and verbalize what we see coming, what our vision is. I believe fathers need to take the lead in this role of creating a vision. We need to have a vision for what the future of our families are. And I believe that God expects us to have this vision. We need a vision for home life, for family life, a vision for social interaction, a vision for the church of tomorrow. But a vision is great. You need a mission, a purpose for why you're doing what you're doing. You need a vision to give direction to what you want to achieve and where you want to go. But this vision needs to influence your values, which will impact and guide your everyday choices. And so I want to think about a few values yet. What are our values? A mission and vision are vital, necessary, and right, but only become evident and beneficial if put into action and practice. Let me just say that again. We're talking about mission and vision. Those are vital. A mission and vision is vital and necessary and right, but only become evident or become revealed and beneficial if put into action and practice. And so we need a set of values that bring that vision into reality, that take a godly vision and put it into practice. And our values are the core principles that guide our actions and behaviors. And so maybe the main challenge for us today is to think about a vision, but then also to develop a set of values that guide you and your family's actions and behaviors. And I want to challenge you to consider the values that guide you now. You already have these. You already have values that are guiding what brought you to today and where you are today. And we need to just think about those values and if they are the correct ones. Will the values you have today accomplish what a godly vision should be? And there are many things that could go on this values list. And again, some of it is more everyday, we say. Maybe you value hard work and perseverance. And so you most likely are shaping the actions and behaviors of your family around hard work and perseverance. Because you value that, you're teaching that to your children. Maybe you value wise financial management and investment, and that shapes what you're communicating to your family and your actions and behaviors. Possibly you value education, knowledge, and information. And so in your value of that, you are communicating that to your family, and you're pursuing learning and knowledge and having information. Maybe you value spending time with family, and so your family's values are geared around that. Possibly you value travel, vacation, recreation, or outdoor life. And so that's shaping your family's behaviors and actions. And so my point is, you already have a guiding set of values that are shaping your actions. Will they accomplish the mission and the vision that a godly family should have, that Scripture indicates that we should have? Remember, too, that in this, more is caught than taught. And it's an old cliche phrase, but it's so true. And so the values that are influencing your actions are doing more teaching than you're speaking. Or in other words, your walking is doing more talking than your talk is. And so you can tell your children one thing and try to have them believe one thing, but what you're doing is teaching your children what your values are. I want to go over several values from Scripture that should help us accomplish our godly mission and a vision for a godly family. And this is not an all-inclusive list. As you study Scripture, there's many things that should go on your values list. But I just want to submit these several things for you to think about. And I have Scriptures with these. We won't turn to the Scriptures for a second time. Several Scriptures to support each one. First of all, a godly father, godly family, anchor in faithfulness. The winds and waves of time, change, and fickle humanity will beat upon your life. You need an anchor for your own life to be effective in your mission and in creating a vision. And this anchor needs to be your faith in God, your Father, and His provision through Christ. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keepeth His commandments to 1,000 generations. We need faith in an almighty, eternal, enduring God who keeps what He says He will and who is faithful to us. Psalm 114, verses 13 and 14, Psalm 145, verses 13 and 14. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Again, the idea of an everlasting God. His kingdom endures, and that same God is here to uphold us and to raise us up and to enable us to fulfill all this calling that we have. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you need Him as your Savior if you're going to be effective in the mission and vision of a godly family. And it's only through Christ that we can be blameless, and then we can be given the strength and the clarity of mind and the right thinking to be able to accomplish what we are to accomplish. Hebrews 10, verse 23, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And there's many, many verses we could go on and on about the faithfulness of God and the sureness of God. Your anchor must be your faith in Him. All else is sinking sand and will let you down. Number two, you need to lean on God's word and prayer. Life is full of questions, and as dads, we are often looked to for answers to these questions. And there are times when the answers don't really seem that evident to us. And we need a source to go to for answers. We need a place where we can lean on. And that place needs to be on the truth that we find right here in His Word. And in coming to Him for those answers, He's given us His Word, and He's given us an avenue of prayer that we can reach out to Him for answers to life's tough questions. James 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." What a precious promise. There's times where you feel like you don't have any answers, you don't have any wisdom, the situation is too big, the problem is unsolvable. What do? You should be on your knees asking God about it. You should be talking to Him throughout the day. You should be asking for wisdom. And we have a Father who says, "I'm going to give you what you need. I'll reveal it to you. And I'm not going to upbraid you or make fun of you or discourage you." We have a source. Hebrews 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Colossians 4, verse 2. "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." And again, we could go on and on with verses. But you need to lean. You need someone to lean on. And it's a blessing to have a faithful brotherhood and have wives that are faithful and help us. But you need to have your ultimate leaning in God and in His truth and in a relationship with Him that you can ask Him for the wisdom you need. God is the source for answers through His word and prayer. And He will give us, in time, He will give us what we need. Value number three. You need to worship the one true God. Exodus 20, verse 2. "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Luke 4, verse 8. Jesus, being tempted in the wilderness, said this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Satan, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." From the beginning of creation, God wanted man to revere and worship him only with his whole heart. And from the beginning of creation, Satan has tried to steal that worship and divert to something else. And he's still offering a substitute for your worship this morning. Worship is defined as feeling or expressing reverence and adoration. And so I'm going to ask you the question, what is coming out of your life? What is coming out of your mouth? What are you expressing adoration and reverence for? Is it for God and Christ and His work in your life and His church and the fellow saints in Christ Jesus? Or is the admiration and adoration about my hobbies and my pursuits and the accomplishments of men and on and on and on, stuff and things? The devil's offering a substitute for your worship. And dads need to worship the one true God. If you expect to accomplish a godly mission and vision for your family. I love so much what Joshua said as he was speaking to the people in the land of Canaan. Joshua 24, verse 15. He says to them, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." There's other things out there to serve. You choose. "Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And we need that same statement coming out of each one of these households represented here today. We've got gods that our fathers served that were wrong. We've got gods here in the land of United States that are wrong. In whose land you dwell, there's gods everywhere to worship. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you willing to stand up and make that statement? Value number four. We need to walk in righteousness. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now, none of us are perfect. We have flaws and weaknesses and failures, and we're human and we struggle with the flesh and it pulls down on us. But we can still choose to walk in integrity by choosing what's right. We can admit and correct when we're wrong. We can own up to errors and faults and find victory. And this verse highlights the fact that obedience and faithfulness will serve as a guide for your family. And the example and influence of a father who walks in righteousness brings blessing on his children. Now, I already mentioned that. We sitting here in this building are some of the most blessed people today because of dads who have chosen to walk in righteousness. We need to keep on. Value number five, we need to guard the city. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. The call for us today is to be watchmen for our families. Fathers are the fortress of the family and give protection to the family. Our home should be a haven where all feel safety, acceptance, and love. And to effectively guard, you need to be present. You need to be at home. You need to be involved. You can't be an absentee dad and be the watchman that you are to be. We should love spending time at home. Sure, we need to go out and about and work to earn a living and be engaged in commerce. But are we spending sufficient time at home with family? Are you eager to be there? Does your family want to see you at home? And we also need to be present in mind and in spirit, not just body. And this takes effort. This takes a lot of effort. We can be there in body. We're at home. But with our modern communication and all the things we do, our minds can be somewhere far else. Or we can be engaged in communication with someone else. Do you pay more attention to your phone or to your children? Do you disconnect from work and other responsibilities and pursuits to be mentally engaged with your family? This is real. I struggle with this. This is a challenge. Our life, we're at a point where things are bombarded on us because of our communication. And we're going to have to intentionally be present. We're going to have to intentionally disconnect and be engaged with our family. To effectively guard, you need to be aware and observe the influence and pressures on your family. Not only do you need to be mentally engaged, you need to be observant of what's going on. Do you understand what's pushing on your household? What's coming in to your household? And I just listed a couple here. You can expand this list. Are you aware of what friends are doing? What direction and influence those friends are having on yourself and on your children? What about the influence going out of your household? What kind of pressure are you applying on other people? Are you aware and alert? Do you know? Are you even considering it? What about the information that pours in? We've got books, we've got news, we've got audio, we've got digital, we've got phones, we've got computers, and the information pours in. And teenagers are on these things and have access to more information than I could have dreamed of when I was 15. Are you aware? It's not necessarily a bad thing, but are you aware? Are you taking the time to be engaged enough to know what's being piped into your household? Technology has amplified the power of both friends and information in our families today. And I just named those two. There's more. Social circles, church, music, on the list goes. You just need to be aware and be engaged to be a guard of your house. Lastly, the last value, we need to be steadfast in responsibility. Again, we must acknowledge the responsibility that dads have, and that a lot falls on our shoulders. We're called to provide for those in our care, and we spend a lot of time on this one. Providing for physical needs, food, clothing, shelter, medical, on and on it goes. The needs, and it takes a significant chunk of our waking hours to meet those physical needs, and this is right and good. We're called to do that. But we also need to ensure that social and educational development are happening. We need to provide for spiritual needs by teaching, training, and participation in a church family. The scripture calls us to provide instruction to our children. Ephesians 6, verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It calls us to train them. Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." It calls us to discipline. Proverbs 13, verse 24, "He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Proverbs 29, verse 17, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." And so we're called to do all these things. And sometimes we're pressed into doing some of these simultaneously. We've got to do multiple at one time. And the demand on a dad can be overwhelming, mind-boggling, and energy-draining all at once. Oh, but you were made to handle it. You're tough. You can handle it, right? Sometimes we can, and sometimes we do get tapped out. And so I want to end with an encouragement to press on and persevere. Galatians 6, verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And this applies to being a dad and in our families. Don't give up, and don't let the tiredness get to you. Don't become weary of doing the right thing, of making the right choice, of standing up for what is right, of having a godly vision and fulfilling that godly mission, because there's coming a time when we will reap. We're promised that if we sow correct seed, we will reap a harvest if we do not faint, if we do not give up. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This verse says, be careful for nothing. It means don't be anxious or troubled about anything, but bring all your requests. Again, prayer. Bring your supplications, your requests. Bring your thanksgiving to God. And he's promised to work in your heart and mind and bring you peace and rest. And we can find that peace and rest even amidst all the demands we have by keeping that relationship with Christ. And finally, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so the call here is to be steadfast, and the work of raising a family, the mission of teaching the next generation about the Lord is the work of the Lord. And it's not in vain. And we need to be just hang in there, in other words. Be steadfast, unmovable, and always abound. Because God will give us the strength. And he will bless us because it is his work. It is his mission. And so dads here this morning, renew in your heart the mission of raising the next generation to serve and fear God. Create that godly vision for your family to achieve a faithful family in the future, and then hold to the values that will influence your actions and behaviors so that you can make that vision a reality now. May God abundantly bless you with faith, courage, and steadfast strength to carry out this calling to be a godly father. Let's pray.